Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And Adam McManus from theworldview.com is with us on this edition of the program. And today we're going to interact with President Joe Biden's comments recently in the press conference in which he suggested, highly suggested, that there be something like a door-to-door campaign for the administration of the vaccine, which isn't really a vaccine. It's an mRNA shot. And 90% of seniors thus far, 70% of adults have been vaccinated with either the mRNA shot or the aborted fetus thing. Well, now the president of the United States, this is a direct comment he made at the press conference this week. Now, we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus. Effectively, what he's saying is we're going to go door to door with the message that we've all heard before. I'm here from the government and I am here to help you. Adam, we've heard that before so many times, and yet we wonder if it's going to really be that helpful.
Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado, if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, a Republican, says the government now wants to go door to door to convince you to get an optional vaccine. I think that's well put. Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas said, how about don't knock on my door? You're not my parents. You're the government. Make the vaccine available and let people be free to choose. Why is that concept so hard for the left? You've described this door-to-door campaign, at least as Biden has initially articulated it, as nothing but raw tyranny.
I think it is tyranny. I think this is the Big Brother of 1984 that George Orwell wrote about, what was it, 80, 90 years ago. And the suggestion is everywhere. You go to the grocery store, you go to the post office, just about anywhere, you're encouraged to get the vaccine or die. Obey the government or die. That's the message I think we get from so much of this propaganda that's been foisted upon the entire country, not just the country, but the world itself.
Let's just take President Biden at face value. Someone from the government knocks on the McManus door here in San Antonio, Texas. What would I have to show them to prove that I have or have not gotten the vaccine? Some kind of official vaccine passport, as they've described it, from your doctor?
Well, I think you get paperwork that, you know, you've already got the vaccine. You can show them, you know, that you have got it. But then, you know, what do you do if you don't want to get the vaccine? How do you opt out of this? I'm sure there's, you know, the opportunity to opt out, and yet the suggestion is getting stronger and stronger, isn't it?
What doesn't make sense to me is this is an optional vaccine. It's not a mandatory thing, so they can't mandate something that's optional. It's an oxymoron. It's like, you know, jumbo shrimp.
Well, and here's the problem is some do think this to be an extraordinary risk to take the new mRNA shot, which again is not a vaccine. It's a new development in medical technology. And so far, about 3.4 billion guinea pigs. That's a lot for 6 months. And in fact, I think this is probably the most extraordinary development in government tyranny and government force and scientific experimentation that we have seen in the history of mankind. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Somebody help me here. Is this a new development in tyranny and in scientific experimentation? 3.2 billion guinea pigs in 6 months. That's just a lot. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast discussing the vaccine. Certainly a new development in medical technology and the use of government force. And that's one reason why I think it's important for Christians to discuss these sorts of things. Liberty, of course, always a value for Christians. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 21-23 says in no uncertain terms that Christians ought to seek liberty and some freedom from the unnecessary servitude of men. Because we are bought with a price, therefore be not the servants of men. So there's always an interest on the part of real Christians to seek liberty from the unnecessary force of governments. And what we're seeing here is a tremendous force on the part of government to get the vaccine. I'll give you the stats in just a moment, but your choice at this point for the COVID-19 shot is the mRNA or the aborted fetuses. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine was created using abortion-derived cell lines. Dr. Amish Adalia, senior scholar at Johns Hopkins who treats infectious disease, has said the vaccine is manufactured using fetal lines, as in the AstraZeneca vaccine. The origin of these cell lines is from aborted fetuses. So that's a quote-unquote from Dr. Amish Adija from Johns Hopkins. And so you basically have two choices here for the COVID-19 shot. Either use the mRNA or aborted fetuses.
Okay, and what is the mRNA? What does that mean?
Well, the mRNA is the messenger RNA, which is a very important part of the human DNA. The RNA is effectively a messenger that is a copy of a blueprint. Think of the architect who sends a copy of the blueprint to the construction site in order to construct part of the building. And that's precisely what the mRNA does inside of the human body. The DNA sends off the mRNA to construct the amino acids, which will, in the end, produce a particular protein. And that's what is inserted into the body of those that receive it. The billions of people receiving this mRNA shot are receiving something of a gene in which, it's an instruction to make a certain protein. And that's that protein is effectively an antigen that is supposed to create something within the body itself, within the immune system itself of the body to go after the bad guy, the bad antigen that was produced using the mRNA. So that's the way it works. But you know what? Here's what I'm considering is I think modern technology isn't fearing God. Now, that's obvious. That's obvious. The modern technology isn't really constructed in the fear of God. If the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God, we're not even to the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in modern science and modern technology. Therefore, as Christians, I think we smell something of a rat when it comes to these scientific quote-unquote breakthroughs. But the extraordinary thing is 3.3 billion people now vaccinated in just 6 months. I don't think that's happened in the history of the world. That's just phenomenal that has come about. Now, remember, it's a reaction to the COVID-19 crisis of 2020. And overall, the official numbers have the American death rate bumping by about 18% last year. So, I mean, we're not talking about the American death rate doubling or tripling, or there's a 30, 40-fold increase over the number of deaths on any given year in the United States. Nothing like that. It was an 18% bump last year for the American death rate. About 33 to 41% of COVID deaths and severe cases were tied to obesity and type 2 diabetes, and only 0.16% of Americans died of COVID in 2020. So again, this isn't some kind of a pandemic, like a smallpox pandemic of the 1690s, in which
you know, 30% of the population died. We're talking about 0.16% of Americans died of COVID in 2020, and 33 to 41% of the COVID deaths and severe cases were tied to obesity and type 2 diabetes. Deaths for people under 25 years of age actually decreased last year, Adam. Deaths for people under 25 years of age actually decreased last year by 2%. So that might be, you know, a shock, but it turns out the pandemic doesn't affect all and certainly did not affect people under 25 years of age, because deaths for people in America under 25 years of age actually decreased last year by just 2%. So,
wow.
You know, this is not the pandemics that we witnessed in the 1700s and 1800s. Nothing that serious.
Well, just to put a fine point on it, you're saying that between the mRNA and the fetal line produced vaccine, it's really a Hobson's choice.
Yeah, yeah. Your choice is either use the fetal aborted fetus line that constructed the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, or use the mRNA shot. 3.5 billion people vaccinated in just 6 months. But don't worry, there's no possibility of long-term side effects. None to be worried about. According to article after article after article online. So it seems to me that we're being bamboozled something by the Emperor's New Clothes maker and mRNA shot production team, because there's so many articles. There's absolutely no concern about long-term effects for this. A representative article from the University of Alabama and his nearly 30 years studying vaccines, Dr. Paul Gepfert, director of the Alabama Vaccine Research Clinic at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, has never seen any vaccine as effective as the three COVID vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. 90% decrease in risk of infections, 94% effectiveness against hospitalization for Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Fantastic, he said, although he doesn't mention the 64% effectiveness against the new variant. But all that aside, vaccines are just designed to deliver a payload and then are quickly eliminated by the body. This is particularly true of the mRNA vaccines. mRNA degrades incredibly rapidly. You wouldn't expect any of these vaccines to have any long-term side effects. In fact, this has never occurred with any vaccine. About 100,000 persons have had a clotting disorder, including 79 cases among more than 20 million people receiving this vaccine in the United Kingdom, 19 deaths. A smaller number of cases have occurred with Johnson & Johnson's vaccine as well. The cases are still being worked out, but when this happens, it occurs from 6 days to 2 weeks after vaccination. So long-term effects, zero, according to this article from the University of Alabama.
And I saw tons and tons of these articles online.
No concern whatsoever about any long-term effects. 3.5 billion people have vaccinated in 6 months, and no worries, no worries. But the thing that's concerning to me is that, you know, this has happened by way of massive government force. Governments have paid for it all. It's all free, free, free. Governments have forced it. They're coming door to door now. Have world governments ever put chemicals into 3.5 billion people around the globe in 6 months before, Adam? Has that ever happened in 6 months?
No, never before.
I didn't think so.
But what I'm hearing, there's a tremendous sense of sarcasm in your listing of all these articles suggesting there's no side effects because you believe they're biased and slanted. Is that what I'm picking up?
Well, you know, I'm not the only person. Here's an article that just appeared. June 11th, 2021, the inventor of mRNA vaccine technology, Dr. Robert Malone, spoke out at the Dark Horse podcast about the potential dangers of COVID-19 gene therapy injections. This is hosted by Dr. Brett Weinstein. The podcast was quickly erased from YouTube, and Weinstein was issued a warning to censor a scientific discussion with the actual inventor of the technology used to manufacture these COVID-19 shots is beyond shocking. But the censorship of Malone goes even further than that. As reported in the video above, at least in this article, Malone's scientific accomplishments are being scrubbed. As recently as June 14th, 2021, that's what, just last month, Malone's contributions were extensively included in the historical section on RNA vaccines on the Wikipedia page. He was listed as having co-developed the high-efficiency in vivo RNA transfection system using catatonic lipsomes in 1989. In 1990, he demonstrated that in vitro transcribed mRNA could deliver genetic information to the cell to produce proteins within living cell tissue. Well, the take-home message that Malone delivered on Weinstein's podcast were that governments are not being transparent about the risks, that no one should be forced to take these experimental injections, that the risks outweigh the benefit for children, teens, and young adults, and that those who have recovered from natural SARS-CoV-2 infection should not get the injection. In June 24, 2021, he was interviewed with Tucker Carlson on Fox News. And Malone said on Tucker Carlson, "I'm of the opinion that people have the right to decide whether to accept vaccines or not, especially since these are experimental vaccines. My concern is I know there are risks, but we don't have the access to the data. We don't really have the information we need to make a reasonable decision." Okay, so that's the inventor of the mRNA, and his work was scrubbed from the Wikipedia page, you know, days after he does this interview with Tucker Carlson and with this online interview program. So you smell something of a rat. Just,
yeah,
the whole thing comes way too quickly. The whole thing is pushed down the throats of 3.5 billion people, half the world's population, inside of 6 months. You know, I mean, call me a little bit skeptical, but, you know, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, governments are force. Governments are not to be trusted in the ultimate sense. And of course, you know, I believe that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we've seen nothing but the increase of absolute power in governments around the world in just the last 20, 30 years. So I think I have a right to be somewhat skeptical.
I want to cite, by way of evidence for what you're saying, what James O'Keefe, founder of Project Veritas, discovered. On June 15th, he went public with a Fox 26 reporter's perspective named Ivory Hecker, who announced live on the air that she was being discouraged from even questioning anything about the COVID-19 vaccine by her bosses at the Houston affiliate at Fox 26. And she announced that live on the air. Not surprisingly, she lost her job within short order. She said on air, "What's happening within Fox Corp is an operation of prioritizing corporate interests above the viewer's interest and therefore operating in a deceptive way." It turns out that folks at the Centers for Disease Control are buying up all the inventory on many of the local television affiliate stations during the newscasts. And it looks like a kind of a public service announcement about the efficacy and the safety of these various COVID-19 vaccines. But it's, in some regards, I think you would probably tend to agree with this, part of kind of an indoctrination attempt of the American people, because there are some concerns about side effects of the various COVID-19 vaccines. And it's also driving the viewpoint of the reporters on air. Ivory Hecker was told that she could not even ask certain questions because it was out of step with what the Centers for Disease Control was saying, and they were the ones buying all the ads during the television news slot. So it's like this very vicious cycle.
Whether or not you believe in the vaccine or the RNA shot to prevent COVID-19, friends, I don't want to get into that debate, but whether or not you believe in it and you want to subject yourself to one of these vaccines, your shots, I'm just simply saying, hey, you have got Christian liberty to do that, but the government is imposing this fairly aggressively. I feel railroading going on here. I sniff out some Big Brother Bolshevik level media scrubbing going on, you know, and just simple Google searches yield that kind of thing for me. Don't get me wrong. I don't think this is the mark of the beast. Okay, Adam. Just saying, it's impressive what these governments have done. 3.5 billion people around the globe have received this vaccine by government encouragement in just the last 6 months. That's pretty impressive. The sheer power of government, the sheer power that media, science, and governments have over the people, the kind of trust that people have in big government, big science, big medicine, big media is just impressive to me. You know, it's interesting also, the vaccination map almost exactly corresponds to the red state, blue state division. I don't know if you took a look at that.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's very interesting.
Also in the polls, you know, of that group saying we definitely will not take the vaccine, 58% of them Republican, 18% Democrat. Yeah. So no surprise there either. And here's the thing. You know, I do have something of a scientific mind. I was trained as an engineer. I have my undergraduate degree in mechanical engineering, and I studied a great deal in statistical experimental design. And I worked a lot of complex Taguchi experiments in process and design improvements and such. I did that for a number of years. I worked in statistics, especially. I was sort of the statistics guru for the companies that I was working for. And here's the deal. When it comes to these cause and effect relationships, extremely hard to identify cause and effect relationships at a fairly decent level of statistical probability. It's just really, really hard to do. And when it comes to long-term interactions, that is, you know, how much will this particular cause affect some other effect over the long term? It's very, very difficult to identify. It's also why it's hard for the anti-vaxxer arguments to be disproved or to prove them either way. It's extremely hard to block all interacting influences and factors upon some particular output for more than about 5 minutes, let alone 5 months or 5 years. So, you know, and for somebody to step in there and say, well, you know, we don't think there is going to be any kind of long-term effects whatsoever. Amen and amen. Just believe me, I'm a scientist. I've got a PhD. I don't think so. Does the immune system of people's bodies get overtaxed over time? And what would we do when we have to deal with, you know, another variant or four more variants of COVID? And once you get the world hooked on vaccines, what happens when you get too many vaccines? I don't think we've got answers to these long-term scenarios. Are we overplaying the antibiotics thing because people are too dependent on medicine to fix their problems for them? We've been asking those questions before. It's not like this is the first time we've asked questions like this. And the ultimate question is, will we trust in big medicine, big government, and will that trust with this high trust in big government and big medicine and big science, will this trust in big government and big science eventually kill us? Here's Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Or Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. And this especially applies to an era in which, you know, we're dealing with man-centeredness. We're dealing with man turning himself into a god and denying the true and living God, and then developing a concept of man as being ultimate and developing his own ethics, his own identity, his sexual identity, his gender identity, developing this concept that man is ultimately sovereign over reality, that man is ultimate in epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, and gender identity, all these things. Man is ultimate. Man is the core. Man is the source of all these things. And that's been the ideology that's been foisted upon all of our institutions for the last 100 years since the Humanist Manifesto of 1933. So here we are. Man is at the center. Man is to be trusted. Governments are to be implicitly trusted to save us from death and from every disease. But Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. And Adam, I'm going to say that applies just as much to the present day as it applied to the people to whom Jeremiah was writing, you know, 3,000 years ago.
I agree. Getting back to, for a moment, President Biden's threat to going door to door, I think of Beto O'Rourke, the former congressman of Texas who had a bid for the presidency himself, who vowed during one of those Democratic presidential debates to go door to door and take away people's guns. GOP strategist Matt Whitlock, referring to Biden's interest in going door to door and making sure all Americans are vaccinated, says it's the Beto O'Rourke of vaccine outreach, which I thought was pretty funny. And Representative Andy Biggs, Republican from Arizona, says it's none of the government's business knowing who has or who has not been vaccinated.
Yeah, it's, you know, still the Republicans that push back on this, the conservatives, and largely because the conservatives and Republicans are still somewhat sensitive to the potential of totalitarian despotic governments, and there's still, you know, some that are somewhat awake to the threats of massive governments controlling every part of our lives. Centralized, standardized, governmentalized social systems will always call for mass-produced medicine, mandatory vaccines, and mRNA shots. I think that's what's going to happen. The social system is far more interested in controlling the individual because the individuals are so tightly linked together in their schools and large corporations, large bureaucracies, large metropolitan areas. We've made this point before that once you sign up to government funding of medicine, and indeed governments are funding 51% at least, maybe a little bit more than that, up from 40% prior to Obamacare. So as long as governments are now controlling the highest degree of medicine that we've ever seen in the history of this country, you know that governments are going to feel that they have something of a vested interest in immunizations and vaccines and so forth and so on. And so governments, you know, we signed up for governments to provide the education, the medical care, the et cetera, for our kids and our families. And so therefore governments are going to feel that they have an obligation to mandate vaccines. In other words, if they're funding the reactive to our medical problems, they're going to want to fund and to mandate the proactive element of our medical care. Whether or not it works, they're still going to shove it down our throats. Centralized, standardized, governmentalized social systems are going to call for these mandatory vaccines and mRNA shots. I think that's just going to happen. Social systems are far more interested in controlling the individual because the individual is so tightly linked together in schools and large corporations, large bureaucracies, large metropolitan areas. It's also interesting that pandemics spread through cities where thousands of people gather. That's typically what happens when you tens of thousands of people in one square mile, or you get 1,000 people in one public school, and the potential of that disease spreading fast within 2 weeks is about 100 times what you get in the countryside. In 1960, 67% of the world's population was in the countryside. The crossover was in 2007. It came half and half. And by 2040, there will only be 33% of the world's population living in the countryside and 67% in the urban areas. So this urbanization of society and the government control of the urban areas, and by the way, the urban areas are typically run by the blue states. The urban areas are typically as blue as can be. The cities are liberal. That's what they vote. That's how they vote. And that's the direction that all of human society has been going since 1960. But here's the one caveat. The homeschoolers are exempted, and they have been exempted over and over again. So many state governments in this country over the last 30 years, I've seen so many exemptions, not for anybody else, not for the Christian schools, not for the private schools, not for the public schools, but families that choose to homeschool and exempt themselves from the big crowded universities or the big crowded K-12 schools, they're the ones that are exempted from the vaccines. Same thing happened just last year in the Colorado vaccination bill. I think we've been exempted 4, 5, 6, 7 times throughout the years. If you check your kids into Caesar's schools, you're stuck with Caesar's vaccines and shots and his sex ed classes, by the way. If you've checked your kids into Caesar's school, if he's paying for your kids' education, you've already surrendered your liberties at the base of the building.
Right.
And so, you know, the rest of it's going to fall into place. And I think that's the bottom line. Dads and moms, you're responsible for your children's education and medical care. And we as Christians, I think, are responsible to exempt ourselves from Obamacare, to exempt ourselves from mandatory abortifacients, mandatory funding of abortion through Obamacare. And if we can use the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries, if we can exempt ourselves from a government-funded, government-controlled system, whether it be in medicine or in education, take advantage of it. That's the encouragement, friends.
There is one interesting aspect, and that is how this will play out in the workplace. I receive regular emails about possible work and radio around the country, and this came across my email inbox from InsideRadio.com related to Cumulus, which owns lots of talk stations around the country. Listen to the first two paragraphs. Depending on the position and company, candidates need to meet various qualifications to land a job in radio today, like understanding FCC rules and regs, proficiency in media production and broadcast systems, or having a successful track record of new business development. For applicants to be considered at Cumulus Media, a new requirement has been added to the list, a COVID-19 vaccination, and it's making this clear in job descriptions. Under the job requirements header for job openings listed on the company's website is this requirement, quote, all new hires must be fully vaccinated for COVID-19 by date of hire, subject to legally mandated accommodations, end quote. Kevin, what's your take on that?
Well, with a high degree of political correctness required in the corporate workplace today, and of course the government control of vaccines and everything else, and the government control of medical care, the government mandate of abortion and abortifacient funding in your insurance programs, et cetera, et cetera, we may need to encourage family economies. And that's one reason why we keep coming back to an encouragement to the family, the Christian family, to exempt themselves from many of these systems in order to maximize their liberties. Now, of course, that's going, the application is going to be different depending on the family involved. But I guess I'm just encouraging people to consider opting out of these increasingly draconian systems, whether it be in the corporate world or whether it be government-imposed systems in the public schools. Do your best to exempt yourself from these things. And that's, of course, why this ministry for the last 15 years has been working very hard to provide options, alternatives to families that are interested in family economy, family-oriented medical care, Christian medical sharing ministries, and, of course, family-based education. Well, friends, I've got to wrap it up at this point. I'd encourage you to our little chapter on the rise and fall of Western science and the rise and fall of Western liberties. We have the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, as our latest offering as part of the Generations Ministry. I encourage you to this book, but I would encourage you specifically to two chapters, The Rise and Fall of Science and The Rise and Fall of the Western Liberties. Both chapters essential. They speak directly to this particular issue at one of the most important times in all of human history, in which about 3.5 billion people, roughly half the world's population, has subjected themselves to an mRNA vaccine or shot in just the last 6 months. Amazing. Get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.